Yearning to play a few rounds of Gwent. That ought to set me straight.
Welcome to Commander's Horn, episode 17. Back sooner than expected, but we got a patch sooner than expected, so we are here live following the CD Projekt Red live stream as we approach patch 0.8.33. New cards, premium cards, lots of news to talk about, lots of new cards to talk about. Thanks so much, CD Projekt Red, for the shout-out, of course. All this and so much more on this episode. Of Commander's Horn. I am one of your co-hosts, Dane McBeard, and I'm joined, as always, by the Man of Steel himself, Josh Greyboxer. How are you today on Patch Day?
Patch Day is here. It was a surprise Patch Day. We had no idea it was coming. I was so thrilled to log in and actually get the patch going almost right away this morning, and I am so hyped from the stream we just had. I'm so hyped to get into rank mode and try out these new cards.
Oh boy.
How you doing, McBeard?
Doing pretty good. I had a really busy day this morning. I had to come in from my parents' place and just sit down in the chair and just try to get these slides hammered up before the live stream. And we made it at the wire, yeah. I think. So we got lots of stuff to talk about. I have opened a couple kegs. I think before we started, I opened a couple kegs. I did get Kira Metz, so there's that. And hoping to get some more, hoping to get some premiums. Got a lot of kegs to open up later on. So, yeah, it's so exciting. I'm practicing my meditation. I'm practicing my my salt therapy for ranked mode.
Oh, yeah, you know,
mindfulness.
All right,
do not react. Bumblebee.
Is that how you do it?
So, yeah, just, you know, practicing my reaction, you know, letting thoughts come and go like passing clouds, making sure that if I lose in ranked mode, that, you know,
which
I don't completely
will.
Fall apart emotionally in front of a whole bunch of people.
We've all been losing in ranked mode. If you've played ranked mode today, you've lost. I've not seen anybody towards top of ranked mode who is not lost. So,
are you saying we don't have anybody at 70,000 wins and 700 losses?
Have no fear. If you are journeying into ranked mode as you listen to this, or if you've already started, losing is part of it. If you can get like a 60-70% win rate in ranked mode, you're looking pretty strong. So
yeah,
there's a lot of rewards for you know, just playing the games out in ranked mode. You never know what you might win, so never forfeit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like gambling, right? If you can win like 60% of the time, you can make a living out of it. So.
Yeah.
Just got to get there. You just got to climb. You got to win more than you lose. So
you can try to win them all,
but you won't.
You won't.
All right, I'm hungry like a wolf for some news. So let's chat. So we're talking about this is Commander's Horn number 17. Thanks so much. No news bumper here. We're just gonna get right into it. We just came in from the CD Projekt Red live developer stream with Powell and his beautiful antlers, and Mikau with his festive Santa hat, the festive CD Projekt Red ice sculpture that we have seen. If you've happened to take a look at some of their holiday streams, they've been representing some of this holiday season stuff. So thanks to them for putting on a great show. And they played a deck that is near and dear to your heart, I think, Josh. How did you feel about that?
Did they? What did they play?
They only
did
mentioned they it like seven times.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I was feeling terrible about it too. I was like, oh, by the way, we're playing Grey Boxer's deck, and I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? That deck is for 8.25. It's not for 8.2 or whatever we're on now.
You're emotionally invested in the games. I was like, they have to win. They have to win.
My eyes were like laser beam on the stream. I'm like,
you're like tweeting to them like, play this card. Just play this card. Don't care about the delay. Don't care about slow mode. Just
yeah. Shout out to Powell and McCall for their excellent piloting of Ratty Issues. Mm-hmm. That was amazing to watch. You dismantled a deck that is usually a counter. So I have a hard time with Monster's Weather with that deck. So the fact that they were able to pilot it to such a resounding victory was. Mm. Really, really fun to watch. So
yeah.
And on the ladder too.
On the ladder, no less. Dry hands for them, no problem, right?
Yeah. Dry. I didn't have dry hands. They did. They didn't have dry hands. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But
thanks so much. Thanks so much to those gentlemen as well for giving a little shout out to the podcast. And for all of the great stuff that they've done for us, now this isn't really a news item on the list, but we would like to say thank you so much, CD Projekt Red. If you so when we recorded episode 16, we recorded we were talking about the news. We talked about that we were going to go live with a little 40 card showdown. You want to say it, Josh? Say it. 40 card showdown. Do it.
What? Are you talking about the 40 card showdown?
The 40 card showdown. Commanders who are on YouTube, you can see it happen. So we did that, and then we got an email on Thursday, and it was a crazy email. They told us that we could reveal two new cards exclusively for the North American market, at least. So there were a lot of card reveals. We got two of them. It was the Champion of Champions and Milena. And you can also check the Commanders Horn YouTube for that video. King Blacktooth got to reveal Renew and Becker's Twisted Mirror. There was a very popular Polish YouTuber /streamer that got to reveal Mardroim. And Iris von Everick.
Shrooms.
That's all we got to call it, right?
Yeah.
Shrooms. And then there was also a very popular Russian streamer as well who got to reveal the following cards: King of Beggars, and was it Kira Metz? I think it might have been.
And yeah, then, the one where the image was all cropped.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're on stream, hon.
Anyway, so then the final cards were shown to us. Well, we just got the patch, right? So we just got a chance to see it.
Yeah.
So that was Yennefer Conjurer, Ciri Dash and Trollolo, I think, also came out earlier. Although I'm not sure how they were released. I think I may have missed that information over the weekend. We got a lot of new cards to talk about. But that's the news, though. Basically, the point is CD Projekt Red reaching out to those content creators and streamers like us to help get that information out. And that's just so nice. That's just so nice of them to do that. So thanks.
Yeah.
I think that's a great forward. It's a great way of doing this for us.
So here's the thing. Like, this has been very well received from everything I've seen on Reddit and all the posts about not only our reveal, but King Blacktooth's and everyone else's. Everyone was grateful that CD Projekt Red is reaching out to content creators and people who are invested in the game to reveal these kinds of cards, and that's something that we hope they continue to do, obviously because we love to do it, but you know, because it involves the community, and it's just more proof that CD Projekt Red's really in touch with what the community members of Gwent are wanting to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Very cool. Very cool
good
stuff.
The community is really important, I think, to the growth of this game, and it's really great to be part of this community. So just, and I think I already said thank you a couple times, but just thank you. It's just, I love it.
Yeah. All right, so we prepared some slides here, and by we, I mean Mick Beard. So he furiously worked during the stream while I sweated my palms off to watch them stream on ranked mode.
I was watching the stream, too. It was a good stream.
Yeah, okay.
Just taking these decks on ranked mode, just like, whatever, we're just going to go for it. And they showed us. Yeah,
they just
showed
rolled
us
out there.
It.
They rolled out there with dwarves.
Yeah.
That was amazing. By my beard. I was excited to see that. That's and just in time for Mahaka Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that'll be tonight.
We're going to go into all the new cards and all the changes. I'm going to link the changes in the comments section.
Yeah.
Here we go.
In our chat, for sure. And, you know, you can go to the news sites. GwentDB has it in there. I think Gwentify also has the changes out there. So you can find those changes. News sites are starting to get a little bit more active now, a little bit quicker to react because the news is starting to pour in. We just got a patch a couple weeks ago, and now we're in this one. So the patch is available. This is the era 8.33 that we are in, and likely that's going to take us into 2017. So just jumping onto the next slide, let's talk about some of these big changes that came in from the patch. We'll be talking about the actual cards in our strategy section. But the first one, big one, the name has been buffed, sort of, I guess. I think we got used to saying getting borked.
Big buff, yeah.
Villain Trettenmirth now has his proper dragon name, although he has been de-dragonified a little bit. Changed. I don't know if he's been nerfed, but he's been changed. He's now 7 strength and now 9.
De-dragonified?
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like a word that CDPR will put on a card in the future.
Yeah, de-dragonify a unit.
Resurrect a de-dragonified unit.
Yes.
A non-gold de-dragonified unit that's not relentless.
Yeah, a non-relentless, non-permadeath, non-dragonified, de-dragonified unit.
Oh, all in good fun.
How do you feel about this nerf to one of our, a card that's very close to us? How do you feel about this? I mean, I say nerf because the strength is less, But I mean, when it comes to a card that scorches in an era where it can be demoted now, not just by the Kidwenny Sergeant, of course, but by Dimeridium Shackles, is it really truly a, it's not a hard nerf, I wouldn't say. How do you feel about it?
No, I think it's fine. And I think especially if it's going to be played by Northern Realms and it gets hit with a Dimeridium Shackle, it's going to go down to 7. Because the buff the 9, you know. So the 7 original strength is going to make it weaker in any deck but Northern Realms. I feel like it can be killed by Radovid now. It can be killed by being shackled and then thundered. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the change to Alzer's Thunder, just increased to 7. So there's a lot more that can kill Villain Tret and Mirth now. And I feel like it makes it weaker for a lot of factions, but especially factions besides Northern Realms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't get that buff to strength.
I mean, we're going to see the card, I think. I mean, the card is still has that board state warping effect where, okay, how am I going to play around this card? Like, it still, like, forces reactionary play and is definitely a very swingy card, as a gold card should be. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, we're not in the age of Bork anymore, but I think that as a gold card, it's still at a power level that is fair. I think it's fair. I mean, it remains to be seen. I have not played any games yet, so I haven't I haven't really experimented with the change or experimented the new Bork. But
I mean, you could say that 8.13 was the dawn of Bork. Mm-hmm. 8.25 was the age of Bork, and 8.33 is the twilight of Bork.
Yeah.
But it's still around. I mean, I played against it today unranked, so.
Alzer's Thunder, buffed. Now it removes 7 strength and not 6. It's an interesting choice. Were people not playing with this card enough? Because I thought it was fine.
I think this card is great. I think it's even better now, and I wonder if it'll be more included in these Squirtle mercenary spam decks, because it's 7 strength is so good to remove. But like I said, I don't think it's a coincidence that you can Dimeridium Shackle Bork and then kill it with Alzer's Thunder. I think a 2-card combo to kill Bork is something people were looking for, ways to get around Bork, and there's one way. And I wonder if this change to Alzer's Thunder maybe kept that in mind. There's not a lot of 7 strength vanilla, you know, 7 strength units besides vanilla ones, and I mean, I'd feel bad for killing a Vran Warrior. You know?
Yeah, I know. They aren't hurting anybody. Like, literally, they're not in any deck, so they're not hurting anybody. But it's like, you look at, like, the Nithril change. They brought him to 6 strength in the last patch, so he could be removed easier, I imagine, because they made his effect much stronger. Although I think that's probably just a natural change. You make an effect stronger, you lower the strength of the unit. But Now Alzer's Thunder is overkill for cards like Nithril and other cards at 6 strength. But, you know, I'm sure there's probably across the board, you know, they see all the data, right? So probably like across the board, they felt that this was okay. And I think that I think of all the changes, this buff is this one of the more surprising ones, I think, because I thought it was fine at 6. I think 7 is a lot. So, yeah, there you go. Alzer's Thunder buff.
7's a lot. It's almost as good as Radovid, except on non-gold, obviously.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this change to Frightener, putting the timer on him?
Yeah.
So what he has now is a 3-turn timer where he's going to absorb special cards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as he absorbs special cards, he's buffing himself by 3. He's now 3 strength, just from my quick memory of the changes to him.
Yep.
And he's now a siege unit.
Which is good, I think, because of how much I guess Frost is more prevalent.
Oh, he's 4 now. 4.
With monsters. He starts at 4. It's true. He, she, I mean it. Let's say it. Spider skeleton skull thing.
It's every 2 turns. I was completely wrong about Frightener.
We'll get there. Every 2 turns, it consumes a special card out of your graveyard, starts at 4, and buffs by 3 in the siege row. So, with Frost
3.
With Frost being more prevalent, I think, with all the Frost immune units, it made Frightener kind of awkward to play it. I mean, you obviously saved it till the end of the game anyway, so you could plan around it in the final round, but now you don't play it, and you can still play Frost and Frost Immune units, and you don't feel like you're just, you know, ghouls will still be there, I guess, and fiends and other cards that are not immune to Frost. But this card now, they changed the functionality. Now it's something that can actually maybe work and actually has more synergy with a weather deck, as well as maybe a standard kind of bigger monster value monster deck. So it's a cool change.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's needed. If they don't want to get rid of the last round bombs, how can you not change it after all the other changes that we saw to like Madman Lugos, etc.?
for me, this is going to fit in the monsters decks with consumption. So with the griffins that are on the siege row, they're not weather immune, and you're going to want to play your non-weather immune units on your siege row. That sounds like another thing to put on a card. Mm-hmm. but you think a lot of decks run Woodland Spirit, and they run Caranthyr, and they run other things that synergize with Frost, synergize with Fog. Mm-hmm. Nothing really synergizes with Rain but Water Hag. So this card can be a very safe choice to play on the siege row now, because you're not typically frosting your own siege row because you can't.
Right.
Because it's Frost, and that would go on melee. But you can't... you don't typically rain your siege row, so it's a good change for the positioning. We'll see if it's played
for sure. I also just want to say that Commander's Horn does normally post on Thursdays. We are early this week because of the patch and because of the news, but we do normally post on Thursdays, and you can reach out to us through email at commandershornpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at commandershorn and on Twitch, which you may be watching this right now, and at commandershorn, and be a part of the show. Just like Whitejack, who asks the question, are we going to see a rise in Hungry Monsters deck, do you think? Just before we go into this Necker change, which has to do with consume and maybe some changes to consume with the two new cards as well. Hungry Monsters. Interesting. I like that. Hungry Monsters.
That's your griffin and your caretaker kind of build.
Yeah.
With your ghouls and everything, where you're just gobbling up the graveyards. And in a way, that's sort of teching too, especially if you're playing one of those... if you're playing one of the factions that uses its graveyard, Skellige, Northern Realms, especially with the medics. So using ghouls and griffins is really strong in that instance. Griffins have also been changed to eat special cards now too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As they were. Which is good for Skoytel. So I think these, you know, there's been some good changes to monsters, and I don't know, Whitejack, maybe we'll see an increase in consume monsters decks. I think they've already been doing pretty well. So if there's more of them because of these changes, well, let's see, and we got to figure out how to beat them.
And the changes here to Necker, our favorite Ogroids. So we have it was a surprise. I mean, I didn't expect this card to change. I don't think I read anything about it changing coming up. I mean, it was very samey when you compare it to the Ericus, but now basically the change is I think I need to reference this one because it was a pretty thorough change.
Yeah, I'll read it. While the Necker is in your hand, you gain one strength to the Necker, we'll assume a green strength, whenever a unit on your side absorbs another's strength. When removed from the battlefield, play a Necker from your deck. Mm-hmm. So it has a little bit of deck thinning synergy. You're going to play this after you've played a couple ghouls. This synergizes with Kaerin. It synergizes with the new... What's the Catacan, the new vampire card that eats three cards, right?
Yes, it does, yeah. And ghouls, of course. Classic consume card. And it also works with the warrior as well, the Necker warrior, which adds. So basically, they replace themselves. You eat it, and another one comes out stronger than before. And with the Necker warrior, you can keep adding more into your deck, and they'll keep coming in to replace each other as they get eaten. So it's like you can't keep a good Ogroid down, you know. So it's very interesting, and I think I definitely need to try this one out. It's a surprising change, not because it's a crazy change, but just because of how it works. It still has a deck thinning capability, but it really synergizes more with consume monsters, hungry monsters, and we're gonna see if that archetype, if this is a boost that can take that a little bit more competitive, and we're gonna need competitive decks because we have a competitive mode. More on that later on.
All right.
Another big change would be to Ermion / Svanriga. This is a pretty big change, I think. The discards now occur before the draws, so you need to make a decision before you get your new cards, and you can't really optimize in the same way. These cards were really strong, I think, so I think that this is not unfair, but this is an interesting change. What do you think about it?
This is incredibly drastic. Because a lot of this sort of mulliganing strategy, discard strategy for Skellige was you would have cards that benefited from being discarded. Those cards are like skirmishers. Those cards are your raiders, and you would hold those in your hand if you had Ermion, for example, because you'd know after you played your pirates and thinned the deck a little bit, you'd have a good chance of getting some decent cards that you want to hold on to with Ermion, and you've got a couple of cards in your hand that you're free and you're happy to get rid of. So this changes it because it makes you and it forces you to decide what are you getting rid of now.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you were to draw, say, a raider or a skirmisher that you actually want to discard, and now you don't have that option anymore. So what it does is it limits the options of Skellige discard. And I wonder if this is simply because Ermion was such an auto include in Skellige. It was the number one best gold you could have.
It's really good.
And because it provided so much choice and synergy with discard. So was this change required? I don't think so. I don't think that Skellige was really that strong, although I do like the balancing around a card that's an auto include.
Yeah, and I think that like when you look at a card like Taller, who you do have to choose what you want to get rid of before you see what you get. And yep. Taller felt fine. It's just maybe Svanriga feels weak now when you compare him to his silver counterpart in Northern Realms, who's always at 6. You don't get Svanriga at 6 until the 3rd round, although it is discard synergy. So maybe, I mean, it's fair. I think maybe you could have made an argument that Svanriga could have gotten one bump up in strength, but I think yeah. you'd still use him in a deck that synergizes with this card. So if you'd still use him, then he's still fine, I think, now that I'm thinking about it on the fly. A lot of these are very gut reactions. I know. I didn't get home too long ago, so I'm still dying to play with these cards. I can't wait after this, or I'm going to get into some games myself.
So here we go. We're going to rattle off the rest of Skellige changes, because they're all strength changes. They're kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
War Longship strength reduced from 5 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oncrate Raider strength. The discard, basically the discard raiders, the guys who would play to your board when you played Ermion or Berna and discarded them, they've been reduced from 4 to 3, which means they're not going to be 6 and, they're not going to go up to 6. They'll go up to 5 at the end of, the end of the second round, start of round 3. So they're kind of bad. Dragbondu has had a huge buff. Dragbondu was recently changed to increase base strength.
Mm-hmm,
he
mm-hmm.
used to increase green strength in the graveyard, and that doesn't synergize with Dimeridian Bomb. That was a nice buff. Nobody played Dragbondu. They buffed him again. Hey.
I had my drag racing deck, okay? You operated Dragbondu, right. You play drag, but you decoy him, you play him 3 times, you play Queen's Guard for like 20. It's, I don't know. I think that maybe that's even better
Seems it's way better
King
now.
King Bran was the leader for that gimmick deck, but I had some fun with that.
He's going to buff +2 to original strength.
Two. Yeah.
So that's huge. If you play him 2-3 times, you're going to have Queen's Guard at 11 apiece.
Huge.
In round 3. It's going to
be
awesome.
Big girls.
So that was really the most exciting change to Skellige was the buff to Dragbondu for me. Hjalmar was increased from 10 to 15. So he'll go up to 25 once you kill the Lord of Invic.
Mm-hmm.
And Clan Doom and Pirates were reduced from 6 to 5. That's because, again, they're an auto-include, and they have the utility of deck thinning.
Yeah.
So they're balancing around auto-include cards, I think. They probably looked at Skellige deck lists with more than 50% win rate and saw, hey, 100% of them have 3 pirates in them. Let's bump their strength down a little bit, make it more of a decision.
They probably looked at Skellige decklist and saw that the pirates were just in every one. All
that's what I'm saying.
50% win rate, 50% lose rate. They're just in every deck. So
yeah,
I think that when you do that, you need to probably address it. And I think that the pirates were, it wasn't so much the strength, it was how they thin your deck that was optimal. And it's just they're less, you have to maybe nerf these cards that are just in all of these decks. And Hjalmar buffed. He's a 15 strength gold just out of the box now. Same effect. Ooh. And I mean, it's almost as if it negates the benefit that the Lord of Unvik gave you before, but now he can be 25 once you get rid of that. Seems like Canvey decks might be even better than they were.
Well, and this is something, again, that they looked at utilization, I'm sure, and saw that no one's helping touching Hjalmar. Let's give him a buff, see if anybody touches him now. And
exactly.
They gave him a sizable buff. And we talk about this every single patch after stream, after party. We talk about the changes they make, and usually they're just putting their finger on the scale. They're changing the strength by one, moving one thing up or down a little bit. This card, I mean, a 5 strength gold buff is gigantic. It's 15 original strength gold card. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. And like meeting, you know, getting rid of it's just, yeah, it's 25 strength now when it hits the board. And I think a lot of people were asking, why would you make, in the last patch, why would you make the Lord of Unvic Frost Immune? Why would you nerf a card like Hjalmar when people weren't really playing Hjalmar? A lot of people had comments about that. They didn't like it. So maybe this, you know, they, a lot of times, I think cards are getting changed with future changes in mind. And we are in the beta. We are seeing it like build for build. You know, we didn't, you know, we didn't see patch number 26 through 32. We got right to 33. So it's, there's a lot of changes that occur that we don't see. It's just, this happens to be the release build that we get to test. So here's Hjalmar. He's a, you know, he's going to make you taste Skellige Steel a little bit more than usual.
That's what he says, right?
Yeah.
Is that what he says?
Yeah. And he's coming for you, you know, he's coming for you. Gum Gum Face Punch is not interested in changes, interested in things that are not changed. Surprised that First Light and Elven Mercenary are staying the same. We don't have to expand too much on it, but, you know, I think that's, how do you change that anyway? How do you make it so you just don't draw it?
There's nothing you can do.
Nothing really you can do about it, I think. I think that's just the nature of the card, so... We'll see if it's so oppressive now in New Scoia'tael, which we're going to get to in this next slide here.
Yeah. Whitejack asks, is First Light fleeting now? It is not. No. I've played a few, about like 6 or 7 matches since the patch went live, and First Light is still in the graveyard for a Glace.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
So Northern Realms, there weren't a ton of changes to Northern Realms outside of Bork kind of being a Northern Realms change when you think about it. But Northern Realms now... the promoted units, the thing like Reaver Hunters, Siege Towers, we don't really need to talk about this too much. I think it's very kind of self-explanatory. Reinforced Ballistas, anything that triggers off of gold effects or buffs when, like in Blue Stripes Commandos and Reaver Hunters, if they are promoted, they'll still get buffed. And Siege Towers and Reinforced Ballistas will proc themselves when they themselves are promoted. So it is an overall buff in general to promote tactics. And I think that that's fine, considering the Dimeridium Shackles are in the game now, and Promote was already nerfed in the last patch. So it's just a little bit, you know, it's just like tiny, minute tuning for Northern Realms.
Yeah. I just want to get into this because you're showing the slide now.
Yeah.
So Dandelion has been changed.
Okay. This is a weird one.
No. It's not weird because the patch notes say Dandelion now only buffs enemy units plus one. In the prior patch, he buffed them plus two.
Maybe I got this wrong then.
He buffed everybody plus two. So every unit that appears, he buffs to plus two. They've changed that so because Dandelion probably didn't see enough play. I know King Blacktooth had some Dandelion wins that he was proud of, or losses. Anyway, they changed that so that it only buffs plus one to enemies and plus two to your own units. So poor PFI buff.
I'm actually going to change this slide on the fly here because I didn't understand this change. So I originally thought that it was only buffing enemy units and no longer buffing your own units. And I thought, what on earth? Like, is that really worth a silver slot? Even if you're trying to like build an igniable board or some other way. So I apologize for maybe falsely showing how that is supposed to look.
No, it's all good. You want to talk about Brayen or Brayen?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about both of these next 2 points together because Brayen is now reworked. Now with 3-strength silver unit, you can play it on any row. When you play her, she will remove whatever her strength is set at. She'll remove that like a ping, like everything else. However, with the Vriad Dragoon change, now you can play the Vriad Dragoon and it'll buff a non-gold card in your hand by 3. So if you continue to buff Brayen, she will be stronger and stronger. Let's say you play all 3 of your Dragoons and you put them all on Brayen, because I think that if you have Brayen, you want her to be the target for these effects. Now she's at 12 and she's pinging for 12 when she comes down, which is pretty crazy. It's a pretty crazy card. I mean, it takes a lot of setup. But I think that's the style of play that we want to see. Vriad Dragoon appears to be the only card that does this, an in-hand buff. But it's really an interesting change, definitely a complete change from how she was before, where she replaced a bronze card with a silver card and she was a 5-strength unit. How do you feel about it? I think it's pretty cool.
Here's the thing. I don't really like Scoia'tael.
Yeah, they don't need more interesting things because they're pretty strong right now, right?
They're already so good, and I actually was killed by this card once already. I think it killed killed my Ockfist, so I wasn't happy with that. They only had to play one Vanguard to buff Brynn to 4, and then it hit my Ockfist for 4. And I was like, Ockfist in 2016, no!
Yeah, exactly. But
I think this is cool. All right, so what it is it's going to give value to playing units besides bouncing Blue Mountain Commandos and Mercenaries. And I know that we're playing the... Neophytes are buffed, by the way. That's next. But, you know, these Vanguards and the Vread Vanguards that spawn the unit are typically played a lot. Maybe this card, if you hold it the whole time and you play a bunch of Dragoons, it'll hit for, what, 6 or 7? Like, I guess that's pretty good. But it requires so much setup and it's green strength, so... I mean... I think it's okay. I'm not a huge fan of this card.
All right, I just made that change so the slide accurately reflects what Dandelion now does. So just so that's, you know, for the record, now buffs enemy units by less than the friendly units. So just wanted to put that out there. So yeah, the Commander Neophytes are changed, and Morin also got a rework, and I saw this coming, I think.
Remember we talked about that, where some of these damage dealing cards like Morin were placeholders.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the change to Murktabrak, and I know that we saw in Discord, Rethis did defend that Morin is a very different card, and that she is agile and she does not get to do multiple pings. I think that yes, she is agile, and that is a key change between Murktabrak. But Murktabrak just kind of felt better. Like if you had to, you wouldn't put them both in your deck, and which one would you choose if you had to pick one? I think Murktabrak every time. So it's cool to see that Morin has changed now. Morin is now a 7th strength unit that gains 4 when she destroys an unrevealed ambush. In case you have a trap that isn't going to be triggered, or perhaps your opponent passes on your traps, or some other thing, perhaps you play Kieran in round 3 after you had already gotten Kieran back, and you play him, and now you get that 4 immediately. I mean, Kieran is already 4, so it's not, you know, it's not a huge buff to that, but I'm sure there's other ways to play around it, definitely, but it makes her worth 11, which is a little higher than the standard silver, a little higher than average if you can make her work.
Well, can you play her on an opposing card?
You can, I believe. I mean, it doesn't state otherwise, so definitely.
So that helps the mirror.
Yeah, and, stop the Scoia'tael and Scoia'tael violence.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the fireball trap coming up soon.
For sure. Well, we don't have it on the slide. I didn't mark that as a huge change, but it is. That's a fairly big change. We didn't put every change on here. Talk about the fireball trap. Tell me about
it. We'll talk about it real quick. So yeah. Fireball trap now triggers wherever a unit is played. So it just automatically explodes.
Yeah.
As soon as anybody plays a unit. It doesn't have to be on the same row. It's just destroyed.
Have you experienced this yet?
No. No, no? Fortunately, I only have gold units. I play Northern Realms, so.
Yeah. I just put, you know, 25 card deck, all gold, you know.
Right, that seems good.
You know, that's how Greyboxer hacks.
It's the hacks, right? You kill the servers, and I hack the golds.
Hack the golds.
It's all fine. If someone in chat wants to provide a very good explanation or concise explanation of Fireball Trap, I will read it. Because I still am working on understanding it. I've only, like I said, I've been able to play like a half dozen games or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only ever seen it happening to other people, not to me, on other streams. So okay. Not on my own games.
Okay, so it's
be fun.
And I believe it's loyal as well, right? So Fireball Trap's ability change to the following. When a revealed non-gold unit appears on the opposite side, remove 5 strength from it. And I believe it is no longer disloyal. I think that's the other change. But
yeah, you play it on your own side.
You play it on your own side. Because it says opposite side, right? So
yeah.
Suggesting that it's you put the trap on your side. So this is a huge buff. Like, Shiru already buffs ambush cards because now you just you are less likely to know what the card is. So the cards, like, you when you put a trapper on the row, like, now that's the only one you would actually use, but would you use it now that Fireball Trap is this good? Like, would you actually play with is it the sappers or the trappers? I get these mixed up. I think it's the trapper.
The trapper is the one that explodes for 5 on the row.
Right. Now that removes 5 strength from the whole row. So it is different. Yeah. But the Fireball Trap is oh man, I don't know.
It kills anything you put down that ain't gold. Tell you what, and here's the thing: is it says opposing row in the description, but reports from Discord have been saying that it's triggering no matter what row.
Oh, it says on the opposite side, but does it mean you have to play it on your row and it triggers on the opposing side on that row?
It turns out you do not. It turns out that no matter what row you play a fireball trap on, it will explode anytime someone plays a non-gold on the other side.
Okay. And after it flips, it can be commandoed back to be active. Commandoed back. Commandoed back.
Blue Mountain Commando.
Blue Mountain Commando. Gotcha. Thank you. Blue Stripes. Blue Mountain Commando. Yes.
Blue Mountain Commando can flip it. Yep.
I've made that mistake before on the podcast.
Do the old bounce flip.
The old switcheroo. All
right.
All right. And so, finally, Isengrim only spawns one neophyte. Again, that neophyte is now at 3 strength, but yep. only spawns one at a time. So he's nerfed, but he was good enough, I guess. You could play him if you wanted to. I think that no one would argue that it was worth the gold slot. I think it was strong enough, but...
He's dead now. Is he?
We'll see, yeah. I think. We'll see. Yeah. I think he's probably still fine. I think that that's still a strong card. He's still... You put him down, and if you can't get rid of him, he still is a threat, as most snowball-y cards are. It's just, you know, people have been removing him a lot. Yorveth is a stud, of course. Radovid is everywhere. So yeah. Isengrim wasn't living very long to begin with in the last meta. But we'll see how things change. I mean, Radovid's still the same guy. He's still the same. He's still got the same personality. So we'll see. Yeah. But anyway, so those are like the main, those are the changes that we really wanted to highlight in the podcast. There are a lot of changes. Definitely recommend going on one of the many sites that collect those aggregate that news and read it yourself. But we got the game before we got the patch notes, so a lot of people were exploring at the time, and I was on Discord somebody showed me the change to the Neckers, and I thought, what is this? Like, anything could be changed now, but now we have the concise notes. They are out there. Check them out if you haven't seen them.
Yeah, I'll link them again.
Yeah. But let's talk about the client changes and the game changes. Number one, huge, huge, huge thing. Ranked mode is here. Separate than casual mode. Goes along with the leaderboards. That should say top 1,000 players. I do apologize. I think it says top 100 on the slide. It should say top 1,000.
Yeah, top 1,000
or something. We have arrived. Ranked mode is here. Competitive Gwent, try hard mode matters.
It doesn't.
I am ready. I am ready. I am ready to fail, but I'm also ready to succeed, so we'll see.
Just think about what you get if you get to the top. You get to go into Discord and say, look, I'm number one, and then somebody else wins, and then you're number two.
You get to do this in real life. You get to flex.
Yeah, you get to do a flex.
The skinniest arms in the world.
Your camera's too close for you to flex. You gotta have the camera like this.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, you got the big camera. 2 tickets to the gun show.
So rank mode is out, and if you don't know, you have to play games to go higher. And if you logged in and saw your ranked position, it's probably falling as we speak, because as you play games, you're getting rating. Rating is basically based on trying to keep a positive win rate, and I believe it's also based on the MMR of your opponent. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
you play somebody who matches slightly higher or lower than you, you're gonna get a little bit more value for that, I think, because I've seen a couple guys in the leaderboard, a couple guys are higher than others. Or girls are higher than others, and they have slightly lower win-loss ratios. So someone's like 19 and 11 was actually higher than someone who's 21 and 11. So maybe those 19 wins were more difficult.
Right.
So we're not really sure how it works exactly yet, but get climbing.
Velour Rouge is saying at the time of this recording, Back to Kill, who is we are familiar with him in the competitive, in the Beta Brawl December League. I think he's in it, and he definitely was in some previous matches because I faced off against him in some of the tournaments in November. Apparently, he is number one, so that is
cool. Let's do ladder callouts. Who's top three?
Go for it. You load up the client. I can't change the client because that will destroy the background of this podcast. But if you want to fire it up and talk about it. I don't know where I'm at. I didn't look at it. All I did was open a couple of kegs in the pre-show here.
I'll tell you this. Okay, here we go. Back to Kill, number one Gwent player right now with a number one position, rating of 1450. Mm. He's got 20 victories and 6 defeats and 1 draw. Second is Maxi Die with a 1433 rating. He's 9-0. So good. You can see how that's kind of weighted a little bit. And then Infiltrator is ranked number 3, 1408. He's 10-3.
So that's going to be really volatile today and probably for this first week. Eventually, once the wins and losses start to be a bit more, you know, the percentage starts to come down, your win rate starts to be about, you know, where it should be for most games.
It will level out.
In that 60 and 70, you know, if you don't buy into those clickbait decks that are like 85%, 90% win rate, you know, don't buy into that stuff. You want to get about 65 is probably really highest, but you know, the more balanced the game is, the narrower the field is, you imagine that 65 should be good enough to get up there. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, Gwent is number
a little personal
four,
agenda I put in there. Don't like that clickbait.
Yeah, you don't like the clickbait.
I hate
Gwent
it.
The clickbait Gwent DB decks, yeah, that say 95% win rate or 85% win rate. A lot
don't
of people post
it.
Those. Maybe people post those because they don't look so great, but they actually are pretty good. But a lot of times decks that don't look good aren't good.
We just can't really track it reliably. I'm just, you know. Anyway, that's I don't want to get too deep into that.
I'm sure everybody else has their own opinion on that, but we'll move on. We'll talk about what do you guys think? If you guys have played yet, and maybe by the time if you're listening to this on iTunes or if you're listening to this on the actual podcast app and not live, you guys have probably played the game. And what do you guys think of the new UI changes? Let's ask chat.
Yeah, it's faster now. Everything just feels like faster, smoother. Mouse is more responsive.
Tons of improvements.
The keg opening experience is faster. Doesn't take like an hour for it to go and send square up on Shoop before he starts busting open the keg. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but yeah. Foxmime says, I need to post my 40-card deck with my 80% win rate. I think he's talking about Greyboxer, who beat me 3-1 in the 40-card showdown. Find it on YouTube.
The
40-card showdown. We should do that again real soon. That was lots of fun.
We should do it. You know, I did one last night with Zero Total Spice Mix.
Oh, he's a good guy. We love Zero Total Spice Mix.
Yeah, he jumped on, and he was doing voices all night, by the way. And he's impressed by my dwarven accent because he can't roll his R's. And I'm like, by my beard.
Your Italian-Scottish hybrid or dwarf accent.
So we had a really awesome time. We sort of started playing like random decks, and then we built some 40-card decks. And it's really fun, actually. You know, there's a guy. So there was someone during the CD Projekt Red stream that said, hey, are you guys thinking about making 30-card decks more viable? And CD Projekt Red was kind enough to give us a little shout-out there and said, actually, they talked about that on their podcast. And
we did this.
The 40 cards is fun. If you're playing against someone with 40 cards, it's fun because it's so random. And I mean, I think Zero and I laughed for about 2 hours straight because he got on Discord and we chatted. You know, it's hilarious.
Well, we played four games, and every game I was like, you had that card? You had those cards together? Like, you can't really reliably put anybody on anything if you know that their hand could potentially be all bronze.
Right.
Or, you know, you've got Wild Hunt and Ghouls if you just happen to put them both in your deck. So it's like, oh, well, he's playing Ghouls. You probably just have Frost. Well, yeah, why would you not put Karanthir or something like that? So it's just, and you played Ragnarok against me, and I didn't see that coming at all. We had a lot of fun with it. It's kind of like its own mode.
It is. And you know what? And there's a suggestion, right? We can have like 40-card mode, right?
40-card rank mode.
Maybe that's what casual will become, is people just play 40 cards because it's fun.
Oh, it's like in some of the MOBA games, you have like your 5v5, your 3v3. Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, your 25-card ladder, your 40-card ladder. I mean, we'll see. I mean, your priorities in check.
That's an incredible idea. We're going off on this tangent because we like this. But what if you hit casual match and it said 25 to 30, 30 to 35, 35 to 40? Or something like that, you know?
I think with the beta, you don't want to dilute the player base too much.
No.
But I think that, you know, in the future, you could have, maybe they have like, you know, like some of the Blizzard games do like a brawl, like every week they have like a special crazy mode. So maybe they could do something like that. You know, one of the modes could be 40 card mode.
Man. All right. So tangents aside.
Premium cards.
The UI. Well, we were going to ask about the UI.
Yeah, the UI. Actually, that's true. We did ask.
Yeah. And you know what? We think that the UI is supremely improved. The frame rate's better. I think with the animated cards, that they needed to do something with the graphics to make it more fluid and make it run a little bit more smoothly, especially since there had been like some people had complained about performance issues because the game ran pretty heavy for a card game. Mm-hmm. So I think especially with the changes to all of the leaders now having surprise premium animated cards,
I think that's awesome.
The changes to the way the game runs and the improved graphic efficiency is very welcome here. So
I mean, I guess there's not a lot of stuff to say about the graphical stuff because the chat doesn't seem to be mentioning very much about it. But
no,
you know, it's a nice thing.
No one cares about us. It's typical.
The premium cards are sweet. Yeah, we love the premium cards. We like when you compare what we saw on the live stream where they showed the original Ragnarok and what we see now. big improvement. Very nice animation. Awesome work. I hear Yorveth is much better looking as well. But yeah. I think that it's awesome. I think that's, CD Projekt Red is not afraid to, that 3D arrow.
Yeah.
CD Projekt Red is not afraid to show us the in-progress work and have us react to it. So awesome work by them. And finally, the single player mode is coming. And on the stream, we heard that that's going to be the first campaign, which we have talked about in the previous podcast, will contain Queen Mev or Meve. It will be free. We will get to try it for free. Thanks, guys. No problem.
So we'll get the Northern Realms Queen Mev campaign.
Right.
Did they say whether or not that would be in the next update or just like in a future update, this beta?
Well, and somebody else also asked in the chat if there's any news on spectator mode and replays. We didn't get any news on that. I don't believe they said it. I was working on these slides. I don't believe they said it.
But nothing in spectator mode.
I think it's going to come when it comes. And I think that they won't have, maybe they wouldn't have to patch. It looks like it's ready to go. So it might even be like kind of applied. Like it won't be like a patch update. It might just be dropped in there. So there may not be a patch. You might just get it one day. We'll have to see. We'll have to see on that one for sure.
One more thing that we did not expect to hear, guys. On stream, they confirmed that the next major update to the game will include Nilfgaard, the fifth faction, the one we've all been waiting for.
And we'll see. That'll be a 2017 blockbuster patch.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's like, people are ready for this one. Like they put that coming soon, the Nilfgaard coming soon. It's been there since the very beginning. It's always been in your face whenever you go to make a deck. It's been on everybody's mind since the beginning of the beta. It was one of the original decks in the original Gwent from Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. People are just hungry to have this extra faction. And, with all the leaders that are going to be coming out, we're expecting to see 25 leaders by the full release of the game. The game is going to get so much more robust, but nothing will make it more robust than a new faction. A huge, huge update we're expecting. It's going to be massive. If nothing else changes the game more than that, I think it's going to be just absolutely massive.
Yeah, and if we have anybody from CD Projekt Red in the chat, if you want to say whether or not that's true, we're going to confirm it here because we heard it on the stream. Additionally, if you compare that information, that Nilfgaard's coming next, if you compare that information with the China press release information, that stated that new leaders will come sooner than factions. We know we're getting Queen Mev, but will we get additional new leaders prior to or with the patch that includes Nilfgaard?
Very interesting, because I didn't think
very soon.
I didn't think Nilfgaard would be the next patch because of that piece of news, because of that specific thing where they say new leaders are coming first. Now, if they give a single player mode and we get Queen Mev, and that is the only additional leader, then that would hold true, that we would get a new leader before the new faction. But we'll have to see, I think. We'll have to see. We're starting to get into it, so we've already been going for about almost 50 minutes now. Let's talk about new cards. I've been waiting to do this episode for a long time because talking about new cards is lots of fun. We got some new cards. As we said, I picked these graphics kind of just to do like this opening slide here, but you'll see the Champion of Champions and Milena there. Once again, we love the fact we got to reveal Champion of Champions and Milena on a live stream that was separate to our previous podcast and this podcast. We'll talk about them briefly here again today, not right now, but as we get into them. But if you do want to see that reveal, Commander's Horn YouTube, we do have our live reveal of those two cards, Champion of Champions and Milena, as well as the 40 card showdown.
Milena.
Both of those pieces of content were released since the last podcast. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It'll be in the show notes as well, links to that. But let's get into it. It's got new cards. So we'll start with the neutral ones. That's where the lion's share came from. The first cards are the cards that King Blacktooth had the UK reveal. The first one we have is Renew. So Renew, and you will have to, I didn't get a chance to type up every single description, but we will talk about this. And in the audio version of the podcast, you won't miss a beat. Renew is a neutral golden special. Revive a gold unit. Only a gold unit. So, the way I see it, it's a way of doubling down on your gold cards, and it costs you a gold slot if you don't want your card to be removed, and if your strategy is dependent on a very specific card. You play Renew to make sure that card lives.
Yeah. Well, and additionally, it gives you, basically, think about it this way, it gives you a copy of one of your three gold cards that you really like. So, for me, this is one of my favorite new cards because it was always hard to choose the fourth gold card after the Ciri nerf in Northern Realms. And with the change, it's obvious to throw Renew in place of Ciri. So you're going to run Baron and Shani probably Geralt Ard, or Gard as we like to call him.
Yep.
And depending on how you play, and then renew, because you want to, you can renew any gold card. There's no restriction regarding permadeath. So even though Shani's permadeath, you can res her with renew.
Yeah, it's very interesting card, and I think this card, along with other cards such as King of Beggars and how Operator always has been, this card kind of works like you basically are plugging in another card into this strategy. And like, much like King of Beggars and Operator, when you play these cards in your deck, you're expecting to play them with another card strategically in mind. So these kind of plug-in cards, I think that these cards are always going to be relevant. I think that there's, you know, this card will get better and better as more cards are introduced to the set, just like cards like Operator and King of Beggars. They'll always be relevant in the way that whenever they add new cards, you'll always think, oh, how will this work with Renew? Or how will this work with Operator? And I think, you know, if you ask Dew, Discord member and you know, very active member in our chat,
Ronnie James Dio,
the dolphin, he will always be trying Operator on any card that comes out, I think. So it's you know, it's always, you're always gonna have a card in mind when you play a card like this.
Yes.
So next card up, Becker's Twisted Mirror. This switches the highest strength unit and the lowest strength unit strength wise and it switches the strength level. So if you have a skirmisher on one side of the board at like 25 and you have your Dol Blathena archer at 2, the skirmisher goes down to 2, and the Dol Blathena archer goes up to 25. It is a buff. The strength values will be red and green, respectively. But that is how that card works. And it goes through Quen shields, which there is. I saw there is a Reddit post about this that feels like this is an inconsistency in how Quen will be worded, and we'll get into Quen later. But Quen basically protects you from any damaging instance. So, is this making this game, are they adding new mechanics that are complex, that are making this game more hardcore than it already is, and that you have to understand how each and every card works in every situation? How do you feel about this?
Well, here's the thing. This card is, first of all, the fact that it affects Quen, I think, is okay. Mm-hmm. Because besides Kira, Quen is just a bronze card, and it protects from one damaging event. We know that this is sort of a game of exceptions, and that was kind of what the Reddit poster was getting at. And the thing is, this is a gold special card. Like, this is a very powerful card, and the fact that it can overdo your bronze shield is okay with me.
Right.
And the fact that maybe they need to put something in there that describes that is also okay. They'll figure out a way to do it. And I don't think Becker's Twisted Mirror should be change to not affect a Quen card, because that means that a gold card is hard countered by a bronze, and you know how I feel about Dimeridium Shackle, and I don't care for that. So I think as long as it's, you know, going through Quen, and they describe that yes, that can go through, it's all right.
So I think it's okay that it does do it, but I still get the argument that it is a damaging instance to that card that Quen does not prevent. And it is a gold card. I don't disagree with anything you said. I still think that there will be people who think, okay, this is protected from this card, but it is not actually protected from this card, even because it is a damaging instance to that card. So I just think that it's in a territory that is, from an experience perspective, kind of a rocky territory, I think. But yeah, I do believe it should work like that. It might just be a wording issue. It might just be something that maybe they can reword for Quen specifically. But what would you say? Except for Becker's Twisted Mirror, or except for... You can't say except for gold effects, because then it's like, now if I Yorveth something with Quen, it kills it. So like, there's a lot of gold effects that do damage that Quen does protect from. So it's definitely in a rocky territory, I think, from just a full understanding of the card.
It should be a Becker's Twisted Mirror can be described to on its own card to ignore effects. I don't think you need to change Quen to say when Quen is effective and when it isn't, because that's going to add additional language to Kira that doesn't belong there.
Yeah,
and
right,
it's going to add additional language to Quen that doesn't belong there. You can put the language on Becker's Twisted Mirror that it says it ignores all shields or something.
Yeah, passes through effects that prevent damage. So
passes through shields or whatever the keyword ends up being for Quen.
Yeah. I mean, that aside, the card has a very powerful effect, very swingy, a very round swinging effect that gold cards should have, worthy of a gold slot. This is what's way too strong for a silver card in my opinion. So
yeah,
I think that, you know, just aside from that perception of it, I think that the card is a good card. I don't know. I can't think offhand of, I think it fits into any deck that it's very situational. It's like Scorch. Like, you don't, Scorch is not always active in your hand. It's not always like, you know, it's not always a great time to play Scorch, and it won't always be a great time to play this card. But when you can play it and nail it, it's going to be a huge swing card. And I think that's worthy of a gold special.
Yeah. And it will be dead sometimes too. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be aware of that. It's going to be a dead card in certain circumstances, but again, you know, this card isn't really an auto include for me. It's situational. It's good against some decks and not against others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the rougher decks to play against at this time in the new patch, just from what I've seen, are the Scoia'tael control decks, Radovid control, and those decks don't play big units.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, what do you think about that as far as it just being a dead card sometimes is enough balance for it beating Quen?
Yeah, it's going to be a dead card sometime, but I mean, the thing about it being a special card is that it actually has the ability to be dead. Like, when you look at Gerald Igni, yeah, while the card is never truly dead because it is a 6-strength gold card, even if you don't hit it, it still provides value to you when you play it. Like, you might just have to play it last, and it might just end up being a 6-strength gold card that never activates. But with the special cards, they just whiff if they don't. I mean, Scorch can end up being a dead card too, but a gold slot being a dead card is kind of, that could kind of hurt. I think there's a lot to say about this card, but I think we should probably move on.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Let's move on. Alzur's Double Cross. Pull the highest strength unit out of your, pull the highest strength unit out of your deck and play it. That is what it does, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yep. That's a good way for Scoia'tael to get their, to pull this card with the Merc and then get Yavin out.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Yavin definitely works with spies for sure. Is it worth a silver slot? Is it? I think it's good that the card exists, I think, for the future of the game. But right now in the game, like, would I play this card to ensure that I always had my spy? I mean, assuming that you draw one or the other, you get to use it. But let's say you draw your spy. Now, how good is it? Is it just pulling out a Vriad Vanguard in Scoia'tael? Is it just pulling out a Redanian Knight in Northern Realms? Like, is it really so great? It's a non-gold unit. It's a non-gold unit as well, right?
Yeah, it is non-gold.
Plays
non-gold,
silver, yeah. That's important.
Yeah, silver that plays silver or bronze. So, yeah, limited usage. Okay, it's going to be limited in usage. This is going to be a card you want to pull with your mercenary to pull out Yavin. That's, you know, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to be the best use for this, because I took a look at these and I think, what deck will they work in the best? Well, what deck has a really strong silver unit? Because you really want your silver to pull a silver. There's no time you want a high strength bronze. Like, who's like, oh boy, I really wish I had more Redanian Knights on the board.
Yeah, I mean, you already run three of them. You probably have one in your hand if you really, really want one. So yeah, it's definitely the silver cards that are going to stand out. But when you ever say, man, I really want my Manticore right now, like, it's, if like, do you want it so bad that you need to pull it? It's just, I don't know. Maybe this card needs to be evaluated a little bit more, and I think it needs to maybe see some playtesting for me to understand how.
Sure.
It's worthy of the competitive silver slot. But I think that Yavin is a great example of how it can be used best. So we can say that. So Dimeridium Shackles is the next... Oh, are you still talking? Because I don't think I can hear you.
No. I just muted them. I'm getting asked to do things.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was just happening to be looking at your screen right there. Dimeridium Shackles we saw earlier. A long time ago, it feels like a very long time ago, when we saw what's coming up for the future of Gwent before we got our last patch. Dimeridium Shackle does demote, does remove buffs, but that is all it does. But it is huge for like a card like Bork 3 Jackdaws. It doesn't remove base strength or any sort of base strength buffs, but it does remove green strength, and it does remove gold status from gold cards. I mean, we've said a lot about this card already. We've had a number of reactionary takes on it, and now it's in the game. I pulled two out of kegs right before this show. I don't think I have anything more to add about it. I think, you know, it's going to work against cards like like Villain Tretton Mirth. Got to get it right now. Got to forget all the stuff I learned every patch.
Oh, man. Yeah, so this is, you know how I feel about this. We've talked a lot about Dimeridium Shackles. They haven't changed a thing about how it works. And I'm not including it in a lot of my decks because giant gold cards are not that common. It is good versus Villain Tretton Mirth. It is good versus Kairn. And it is good versus Frightener. No, not even that good against Frightener anymore, because the changes for Frightener, it's good against Catacan, basically monsters. It's not a lot that you want to use this on. so it's not a giant change for me. It's good to demote Bork if you're playing a non-Northern Realms faction, but you know, I'm more interested in Shrooms.
Yeah, so Diamond and Shackles, it has some very clear applications, but Mardroem is very, very cool. So this is a really cool card. This removes 4 base strength or adds 4 base strength to the unit of your choice. And it's not a Skellige card, it's a neutral card. So this might be my pick as the most meta changing card, I think. And I have yet to test it out. I think we've got ideas of the cards that really work well with it. I know you've said Olgierd is one of your candidates. I think that maybe Mork Varg is good as well for it. And I think that you know, any card that you just don't really want removed. Roach, I think, also works with Mardroem. It also deletes cards that are already at 4 strength. So Ockvist is removed from the game completely if you remove the 4 base strength from it. Anything that goes to 0 is banished. So that's like a general game change. What do you think? I think it's a great card.
It's a cool card. Okay, so you spawn either a mutagen or a spores effect. And the mutagen effect is what you can buff 4 original strength to any non-gold card. Mm-hmm. And then the spores effect is what we were talking about. You can remove 4 original strength from any non-gold on your opponent's side of the board. And it does remove an Ockvist from the game, for example. Right now, I've been playing it, and I have not been able to get it to work on Sigurdifa. Or Sigfrida, or Sigurdifa.
Sick Drifter.
So, there was some way to really pronounce it, and I forgot. Someone told me, and I just don't remember. But it should theoretically remove Sig from the game, which she's at 2 original strength, and then gets buffed when something gets resurrected. So, this will also work on, you know, if you want to get rid of Merc the Bracha, if you want to get rid of Champion of Champions, you know, some of these new cards that are 4 strength.
Many,
There's actually a lot of them. And so, you know, it's a cool card. For me, the reason I talked about Olgierd is because I'm thinking about playing a Skoyatel deck with 3 Shrooms in it and playing the Mercs as if they were the old school Shieldsmiths and buffing up Olgierd.
Right.
See how that goes.
Yeah, the old school Shieldsmith used to do 4 base strength buff. Now we can just put 4 base strength buff into our deck. So
yeah, and you get 3 strength from your Merc anyway. So it's like the old Shieldsmiths, huh?
Yeah, old school, but it's for Skoyatel. Yeah, a class that definitely needed it, right? So
yeah, I mean, buff Skoyatel, please.
Yeah, see,
they must have heard me last time on the card reveal.
When we did the card reveal, I think Grey Boxer was in a trolley way saying Skoyatel needed help, and I didn't pick up on his sarcasm. And I said, "Oh, I disagree. I gotta look at your expression when we're doing the live video here. Yeah. All right, so Mardroem, very powerful card. Quensine, we're gonna move along here. Quensine, we did talk about this sort of with Becker's Twisted Mirror, but it protects all units of the same name. So if you put it on the Foglets, and I think we saw this on the live stream, right? When you put it on a Foglet, it hits all the Foglets, much like Promote hits all the units as well. Like, it's that kind of card, if I'm not mistaken. So it protects the units from a damaging instance. So it is in many ways, not to talk about other card games, but it's very hard to not make an immediate reference to Hearthstone's Divine Shield.
Yeah.
The bubble that must be popped before you can do any, you can remove any strength from the card. So it by itself as a card, it is, I'm going to have to play with it. It doesn't seem like it's going to be very, like you can use it to protect a card like Ockvist if you want to protect it. And and you're not playing Northern Realms where you can promote it. So there is that. It does help protect your must remove units, your snowball units.
That.
It's cool.
That is really cool. That's a good way to look at it too, McBeard. I didn't think about it that way. I was thinking about, you know, the you'd want to protect a lot of small units that could be lacerated, right?
That too, yeah.
But that's a really cool way because a lot of you know, non-Northern Realms decks that want to play the dragons, those dragons get killed a lot, and they don't have a resurrect, or you know, they could be shroomed to death. So you put the Quen on there, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's protect your snowball units. Maybe you might want to put it on your pirate captain, perhaps, or maybe you want to put it on your champion of champions, perhaps. Our favorite snowball card that may or may not be good, but definitely near and dear to our hearts because we did get a chance to reveal it. We're going to keep going here. There are six more cards for the neutral, and they are the units. The first two here were not really, I think the Siri card, I can't remember how that was revealed, but Yennefer definitely was not really known about by the public by like until today when it came out.
No, not at all.
But we'll talk about Siri. So Siri is a 9-strength gold that when removed gains 3 strength and goes back into your deck. Very interesting card. Makes it so you have higher gold density in your deck in a roundabout way. You play, you have more gold cards to play. So kind of a roach buff when you think about it.
Wow, look at that. The indirect roach buff.
Yeah, yeah. Props to Mythic Pilot for pointing that one out to me. I gotta give him credit on that one. But
good work.
It's really cool. Like if you run out of gold, it's because you know Roach needs your own golds to pull cards out. You'll kind of reliably, if you're cycling through your deck, especially I think in Skellige's case, something like that, where you might be running a buff Roach with Mardroem, perhaps. Maybe Siri works with that deck. I would like to test that one out personally.
Yeah, there's not a lot of excitement for this card because basically she becomes Geralt, vanilla Geralt, after she becomes a vanilla Geralt sitting in your deck after she's removed. So you play her round one or round two, depending on when you draw her, and she goes back to your deck and becomes 12, and then you just hope you draw her, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder because there's a lot of deck thinning, okay, for certain factions, and not for others, but a lot of the deck thinning is for non-gold. So it's really going to be hard to try to pull her back out. So she could just simply be a 12 strength card sitting in your deck. You never see her again.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's all right. She's all right. I'm not going to go out and craft her.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, you know, I don't believe this is true. I don't believe that this card is a bad card necessarily, but I do love puns. So I just want to call out our friend Nub here who called it Siri trash. I don't think it's a bad card. I just do love puns. I think there's applications for this card, and I think it's going to be explored by me in a buff Roach deck. I'm going to say that.
There you go.
I'm going to start there. We'll see if I pull her. And we'll see if I actually decide to craft her. But I like the cards that people think aren't going to be good because that's like, you know, much like how Cambi used to be or is maybe for some people. And, you know, some other cards that people think, you know, aren't really good or aren't really worth that gold slot. I'm hungry to play those cards and find a way to make them work. So
what was the one I mentioned earlier today?
What was the one you mentioned earlier today?
I don't know. There was a deck that it wasn't Pavetta, but it was like that when you just played Pavetta randomly.
Are you talking about the Drake Racing? Like, nobody plays Drake Blind 2, and I'm like, I tried him out.
No one was ever playing Drake Blind
2. If you play him three times, he turns out to be quite strong. It's just kind of manufacturing that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to Yennefer Conjurer. Yennefer Conjurer is a 4-strength gold card. You play her on the siege row, and every turn she removes 1 strength from the strongest unit/units on the board. So slowly, like a ceiling. On the stream today, Mikau said lowers the ceiling and then makes it easier to scorch, but kind of like lowering the ceiling, it really does feel like it's slowly like crushing everybody. So it's like, let's say you have a 5 and a 4 and a 3, then you'll have 2 4s and a 3, then you'll have 3 3s, and like everything, and then it, you know, it's stronger and stronger as it goes. It seems like it's a low strength to only be at 4, but it's cool.
It'll die to all the gold removal cards.
It'll die to all the gold removal cards. Triss, Yorveth, and Vernon. Yeah.
Rad Daddy. So that's a really cool way to describe the reason for this card having that particular function. And the fact that it's not, you know, ties are resolved randomly. It is every copy of the strongest card, even if they're not copies. Every card that has a certain strength value that's the highest on the opposite side will have their strength reduced by 1 every single turn. And so this is pretty cool. I don't know where I'd... He said you play it in Radovid control, and I don't run Scorch in Radovid control. So I'm like, well, maybe I won't play it that way, but I think this is a really cool card. I think it's one of those cards... This has sort of been a theme of the 8.33 patch, is that cards get stronger the longer they stay on the board.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and you know, like this, like Champion of Champions, these are cards that are going to snowball. Their effects are going to snowball and get better and better as the round goes on. So, and Frightener, the changes to Frightener, you know, these kind of cards are pretty cool. I don't have her yet. I try to get her. No luck.
And if you're wondering, it's Yennefer was always spelled correctly. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yennefer.
I always had it spelled correctly. So I think it's a cool card. I mean, a lot of these cards, I'm dying to pull these cards because I want to play with them. I don't know if I'm going to rush out to craft them all, but like if I got Yennefer Condra, you bet I'm going to make a deck with her and try it out. So, yeah. So there's Yennefer Condra. Geralt Ard, we are familiar with Geralt Ard, but we will repeat that Geralt Ard is a
guard.
Seven. Oops, I can't remember off the top of my head what level of strength he is. Well,
he's
at.
Six.
He's a six strength.
Agile.
There you go. He is an agile six strength unit that will push a row backwards and do one damage to all units that were pushed after weather has been applied to them. So if you push things into the fog, they will die. Seems like a pretty strong card. Seems like it's going to be the card. Now, you've already crafted him. Is that correct?
Seems good. I got guard in like my second to last keg, and I really wanted Trollolol, and I really wanted guard, and they both appeared in the same keg.
Oh, tough. Wait, so Trollolol is legendary?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I had to pick Geralt Ard because of guard.
Yeah.
And this card is an indirect buff to weather other than frost.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try this one out for sure, because with the Drowner change and just, I mean, it seems like it just wipes a whole row out. It could, like, it's just, it seems like if you have it set up, you know, you Water Hag and the Drowners are already doing lots of good work for you in that case, and then you push a whole row into it and they all just get nuked.
Yeah, like, they all die.
Yeah, you push them, they land with their mouths open and drown in the rain. Like, it just really seems like kind of a crazy card, and I definitely need to experience this one because I don't think I have anything bad to say about it. I think it's going to be in the right deck, very strong. So looking forward to trying this one for sure.
Okay. So we had some really cool comments. Number one, I think did you ask me if Trollolol was legendary?
I did.
Oh no! Neither one are legendary. They're both epic.
They're both epic. My mistake.
Yeah, which is awesome because Geralt Ard is an awesome card, and like Ciri from a patch or two ago is one of those like really early like must craft cards. It's really cool. Mm. So both Trollolol and Guard are epic. Okay. Additionally, there's some defense provided by Kira. So Kira will. We know that Kira will drop. All the units on the row will get a copy of Quen.
Basically,
they'll get the shield. So if you play, let's say they're all sitting on the melee row, what Geralt Ard does, if you play Geralt Ard on the melee row, it kicks them all onto the ranged row and then hits them all for one. So if there's rain on that row, they all get weathered and then they all get hit for one.
Okay.
But with Kira, this is a long story, but with Kira, they keep their Quen buff even though Kira doesn't get kicked. She's a gold. They all land in the weather. Their Quens all disappear because the weather is the removal effect, and then they only get ticked for one. So
okay,
it's not
cool.
An instant kill. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So Kira will be. I mean, if Geralt Ard is meta, Kira will be a very valuable card for a lot of decks. Northern Realms decks specifically.
Really cool.
So really cool. So moving on to the silvers, we have the King of Beggars, a 4-strength silver card that pulls the weakest unit out of your deck, kind of the opposite of Alzur's Double Croth with a body attached to it.
Yeah.
This card is interesting. It's, you know, like Alzur's Double Croth, it is a card that will always remain relevant in that every time they release a card, you'll think, oh, well, how does that work with King of Beggars? Like if it's a great character from Witcher 3 Wild Hunt in Novigrad, the King of Beggars, and he can pull out, you know, your Dolblath and archers easily. He can pull out the next card that we're going to talk about, Dudu, who does start at 1 strength. So I think that might be a fair synergy there. I can't see how this card is incredibly strong. I'm not sure if it like what deck.
Who? KOB?
KOB. It's true. Yeah, the KOB.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you feel about this card? I need to see it to believe it, I think, personally.
I'm down for KOB. Yeah,
you know me.
So here's the thing. KOB will pull priestesses in Skellige, which is kind of cool to have an additional priestess on demand. But then again, you know, half the time so does First Light.
Yeah.
When you use your rally car. And King of Beggars can be revived and played again to get an additional medic. So it's worth, it's five value also, so it's kind of like a bigger medic to do it that way. That's how it was played against me when I played as, played versus Skellige. So that's how I saw King of Beggars used, was to twice draw Priestesses of Freya out of the deck.
Yeah, for sure. Priestesses of Freya work for sure. It's weird because I think, okay, well, if I have King of Beggars, I can mulligan away all my priestesses. But if I didn't have King of Beggars, I would just keep a priestess, right? Like, it's just kind of like you're keeping it for like the plus four to whatever that unit is. And it does work with deck fitting, and that's not nothing. It's just, yeah, I mean, maybe I'll have to try it out. And it will work with Doodoo, and that'll be the next card we talk about. Doodoo is a one strength card that copies the strength of. Oh, you know what? I'm really sorry, guys. This is one of the cards that kind of didn't really. There wasn't a lot of time to process.
I have one.
You have one. I also have one too. I just.
You just got it. That's right.
I did just get this card. Anyway.
So Doodoo. Okay, Doodoo is, he's epic as well.
Right. Okay.
And he sets his strength to that of an opposing non-gold unit
of your choice. Right.
You get to target. Yeah. So really, there's control ways to use him into what, you know, if you want to remove, you know, remove his strength, or sorry, if you want to match the strength, sorry, scratch that, not control ways to use it. I was thinking of the way Becker's Twisted Mirror works. That's what's confusing me about Doodoo, is I kept thinking they would swap the strength, but because he's Doodoo, he's a Doppler.
Yeah.
And what Dopplers can do is Dopplers copy people, they can copy animals, they can copy things. And Doodoo copies the strength of any unit you choose.
Right. The flavor is right.
Yeah, and he's ranged, so he goes on the ranged row. It doesn't matter where the opponent's unit is. He can target it and copy their strength, as long as it's not gold.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, it might work. You play King of Beggars and Doodoo at the same time, and on the right board for one card, you can get a large strength swing. You could also just play Doodoo at the same time. So it's... But Doodoo will always probably be the lowest strength card in your deck because he does start at a base strength of one, and the buff is it is green strength as well. So he is shackleable if you want to use shackles in that way. So it's an interesting card. I think it's I feel like it feels very basic. Like it's very simple to understand. It's opposing units only though. That's important.
After I mess it up.
What's that?
After I mess it up, after like I don't understand it for a second.
Yeah, no, but it's well, I mean, it just, I think a lot of this information we're taking it in very, very recently. That is the benefit and the detriment of covering things very, very fast.
Yeah.
So, but we like to do that. We like to be out there immediately and talk to you guys about these cards. So, and I did pull one in the kegs in the pre-show, so that's very cool. But it is opposing units only, so you need to have a unit. A unit needs to be on your opponent's side that's worth grabbing, copying that strength of. So maybe the thing about King of Beggars though is that you want to use him early so you can get that unit out of your deck and not draw that unit necessarily. So you may want to have other units in your deck that aren't Doodoo, that are low strength, that work with King of Beggars, much like Dolblethena Archers.
That sounds like a card
priestesses.
Description.
It does. It does.
Oh,
for
God.
Sure. So
sorry.
We'll move on as we continue to go deeper and deeper into the night here. Iris von Everick is a three strength disloyal siege unit. If destroyed, increase the strength of all units on the opposite side, which is your side, by three, in a very kind of reverse Sabrina way. Sabrina was also changed to do three damage, so it is very much like a reverse Sabrina. So it is a different style of card in that it reflects more on your board than your opponent's board. But that really just only it really seems like it's really the only differentiating factor. And it's neutral, which is also important to note. Sabrina is a Northern Realms card. How do you feel about this one?
This card's okay.
It's okay.
Here's my thing. When I first read it, I didn't understand it. It says, when destroyed, add three strength to all opposing non-gold units.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of opposing, you think of like Trollolol, which says remove one strength from all non-gold units on the opposite row.
Right.
So that's opposite versus opposing. And so, like, when I first read it, I thought, okay, opposing. Does that mean it buffs their units? That seems bad.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it just buffs your siege row. So that's the way Iris works. She buffs your siege row plus three when she's destroyed. This requires setup. It doesn't add a lot of strength. I can't see... I mean, unless PFI was on the siege row, I can't see a circumstance where I'm running a ton of units on my siege row with Iris. Maybe Skoytel, right? She's neutral, so Skoytel does have a lot of units. Maybe what monsters doesn't have a lot of siege units?
Is it only the row though, or is it the whole side?
Oh, is it the whole side?
It says the exact text is, if destroyed, increase strength of all units on the opposite side by 3. Everybody, the chat seems to be, yeah, it's all units.
All units? Well, that's not bad then. That's pretty
It's a bit better, yeah.
If
you're playing like a swarm type deal, like that would be, mm-hmm. that would be very strong. And it's very swingy in that situation where your opponent really can't answer your mountain of units. I think it's very much like Sabrina. It's gonna take the right state to make work, but you have more control over the board state on your side than you do on your opponent's side, where Sabrina excels. So it's interesting. I think it's a cool card. I think that I'm not rushing to try her out as far as like my general interest. I think because she feels kind of samey to Sabrina, but it is a card that if I get it going, I'll give it a shot for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about.
I'm just a slow person, and I missed that. So that's actually really cool. She is like an inverse Sabrina. And if you didn't notice, one of the changes to Sabrina was that she now removes 3 from all non-gold units on the side. So now she and Iris, while both being disloyal, are complete matches.
That's true. So we'll go into the faction-specific ones. So we are almost done. We got 8 more cards to talk about. The first one is Kira Metz. And this image that I have here is actually right out of my card collection because there wasn't a good quality image of her entire card art. But I just happened to pull her right before the stream. So there it is, right out of my card collection. Kira Metz, 7 strength, any row you want. When you place her on the row, essentially you are placing a Quen shield on all non-gold units on that row, which protects from any damaging instance. So it's a cool card. I think there's definitely applications for this card, especially if you have something like a poor infantry type deck where you have a lot of units on run row, maybe Reaver Hunters, you want to protect them in some situation where you're expecting weather to hit. It's a cool card, and the artwork is also very cool. She appears to be on the other side of Lambert's card art here, where in Lambert's card art, you can see the Wild Hunt, they're spinning up and they're being reflected by a figure in the back, and this is the figure. This is Kira Metz on the other side. You can't see Lambert in this art, but it is the same scene that she's in. And I think that's really cool because
it is
of reasons that looking I will him, not spoil.
Looking at him now. But anyway, this card is really cool. And the way I think about this card is I think about how this card would affect your opponent or would affect you if you're facing this card. And it's like you say, you would play this against someone using PFI or something with a lot of units you want to protect because you want to get the most value out of those Quens, right?
Right.
Here's the thing. She is basically a 7 strength unit, I guess 9 with the Northern Realms, plus 2, plus Quen for the row. And we know that Quen does not protect from Scorch. And for me, I think that Kira may encourage overcommitting to buffing a row, and therefore actually be a slight buff to Geralt Igni. Because people will put more and more strength on a row, especially if those units are matching each other, if they're being Thunderbolt potioned or something, you're more likely to get your Geralt Igni value out of it. And Kira can't do anything about Geralt Igni.
Also, I think that if you were going to be running Quen in your deck, and if you wanted to build a deck with Quen in it, would you really be running a ton of Quen? Maybe not. So if you're running Northern Realms, you're just better off running Kira in that case. Gold slot is competitive, so we'll see if Kira, again, we did talk about how Kira does defend against Geralt Ard, which could be a very good card and very meta. So I think a lot of these, you know, it seems like new cards come in, very powerful, other new cards come in, counters to those powerful cards. If there's always an answer to these cards, I think that's good for the balance of this game, and I think Kira being in the game is good. I think Northern Realms, I think I understand why Kira is Northern Realms. Like, I understand that she is, you know, would be considered a Northern Realms character and not a neutral character. Does Northern Realms benefit from this the most or not?
I mean, she could be your competitive third slot now, maybe in place of Geralt Ard, you could play her, play her plus Baron plus Shani plus Renew. So yeah, I mean that's a possibility to have her twice, to have two Quens for your row. You want to talk about Trollolol or should I?
Absolutely, no Trillolo. So Trillolo is a 4-strength unit that can be placed on any row. Remove 1 strength from all non-gold units on the opposite row, and gain 1 strength for each. This is a pretty cool card, and it's good to see Trillolo back in the game.
Yeah.
He was in Kill the Servers, I believe. He was just a static 12-strength, or sorry, a 10-strength silver that was just Northern Realms static, like kind of like how Sheldon Skaggs and Manticore. This is a much cooler card, for sure. So it combats decks that are planning on putting a lot of units on rows, such as, you know, we'll see if Gelf decks or other swarm style decks, poor infantry decks, end up being very, very big, or other decks that, you know, late rounds in which, you know, if you have had very short first and second rounds, and your third round there's a lot of cards, we're gonna have a huge boards. Trillolo could be a very swingy card and very strong for a silver card, although he does start at 4. It makes me kind of think of, he's kind of like a mini Saskia, in the way that Saskia is reflective on all the units on the board, both sides. But you start at 5 and you start counting from there. Trillolo obviously starts at 4. You count the row and you count from there, and you can see kind of, you're removing the strength and you're gaining it. So it's happening twice, right? Your opponent gets hit and then Trillolo gets buffed. So it's kind of like every unit on that row is worth 2 to you net. So I think that this card is going to be, I think it's going to have a place. I think if you're just looking for a flex silver, I think there's lots of applications for this card. Even if you don't hit a ton of cards, even if you only hit 3 units, it's like a net 6, then you got the value of the 10 on average silver. I like this card, personally.
Okay, so here's my thoughts on this card, because I did craft it, because I had to make the hard choice between Guard and Trollol, two of the funniest cards for me.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm having trouble with is because I run Aromancy in a lot of my decks, because I like the flexibility of being able to weather a buff row in lieu of playing Scorch.
Mm.
And here's the thing. When you play Trollol opposite a weathered row, you have to play Trollol into the weather, and so his buff fizzles out, he's still a 1. So while he is pretty good for removal in cases of weather, he's not very good for, you know, his own strength, because the way weather works, with the priority of weather being last, he'll buff himself and then get weathered. So outside of that, we talk about getting 10 strength out of a silver is about the baseline. So there does need to be 3 units on a row for this to work. But otherwise, you know, anything above that, he's just got tons and tons of headroom to be worth, you know, 12, 16, 20 points.
Right. I think it's a good card. I think I'm going to definitely try it out. I'm going to probably eventually take care of all those epic cards, because 200 scraps doesn't seem too daunting for this card. I think that that's definitely worth trying out. I have 800 sitting and I've got kegs to open, but we'll see how that all shakes out after this. I'm crossing my fingers to some premiums. Don't have any yet. Oh, I want one so bad.
Oh, that's so good.
We'll see if I end up like crafting cards to play, or if I just kind of like, you know, just want to have that pretty card and I dump all my scraps on one of the premiums. We'll see. Let's move on to monsters. Now, we talked about Kayran before. Kayran's a bit different now with the change in the Necker card. So now that there are cards that are benefiting more from consume, it's possible that Kayran might be better than we thought. But, you know, and also the idea that you are taking strength off your board, you are triggering consume mechanic cards, and you are kind of banking that strength into a gold card. And while Dimeridium Shackles is a card, it is safer on the Kayran than it is maybe on the rest of the board.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we'll have to see. Like, I want to try the card. I hope I get it in a keg. I don't know if I'm going to rush to craft it, but I want to try it. So we'll see. Yeah. That's what I have to say.
Nuck7UK wants to know, do premiums drop from kegs or level rewards? I have not seen them as a level reward, because it requires 1,300 EXP to level, and I haven't gotten anywhere near that much. But definitely from kegs. Platinum Rooster, thanks for the assist on answering that question.
For sure. And I think like that, we see people get legendary cards from the card rewards and leveling, and I don't know if that's still a thing in the new leveling system, but that's like winning the lottery. Imagine getting a premium card. Oh my goodness,
the RNG that has to come together to make that happen for you is just
one in a million.
Something to behold.
Yeah, but we're talking about Kayran here. So yeah, what do you think about Kayran generally? I mean, we don't have to talk too much about it. It is not a new card. We knew about this one longest.
Yeah. Well, and this is a card that we talked about a lot after the last CD Projekt Red stream, and that was a stream in which I talked a lot about Dime Radium Shackles being a hard counter to Caitryn and how little I liked that. What's funny is now it adds debate strength, which really means that you're going to have to use Shackles and then Scorch it if you want to deal with this card. So mm-hmm. I think it's great. I mean, not that Monsters needs giant units anymore, but if you Shackle this thing, it can stay on the board.
So yeah, it doesn't stay on the board otherwise.
Yeah, so and I just wonder, like, how many people are going to be shackling this thing when they see it. Yeah. Leap up to 30 points.
Like, we'll see, like, with Bork being less played, our Shackle is going to be, like, if Bork goes away, our Shackle is going to be so desirable. Like, is Kayran going to be such a crazy card that, like, oh man, you got to tech against Kayran. Kayran's crazy. Kayran's just 8 plus whatever's on the board already, and it doesn't stay on the board. It's not even necessarily. I think that it definitely has pros and cons.
Yeah, so here's what I'd do is I'd eat up all my stuff. I'd play value. I'd put him in whatever weather, or not weather. I'd put him in whatever. Yeah, I'd put him in weather. I don't care. I'd buff him up to 30-something, and then after the opponent passes, I'd hit him with a shackle.
It just to troll him? Just to be just to mess with him?
So he'd stay on the board.
In weather?
Yeah, because the weather
goes away.
He'd go down
to one.
He'd go up to his original strength after the round ended.
Yeah, but he would be 8, though.
Yeah.
It's not base strength.
This is not a round that I'm planning to win.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, in that case, sure.
No, it says when removed. When removed, set strength to 8. So if you buff him up to 30 and then you shackle him, his original strength is 30 and he's a silver unit.
I don't think that happens. I think the buff goes away. I don't think it's base strength.
It is base strength.
Does it say that?
Destroy 3 loyal non-gold units and add their strength to this unit's base strength.
I apologize to the world.
When removed, this is what I was trying to say. When I think after that stream, we talked a lot about being Dime Radium Shackles being such a hard counter to this really cool card. I wonder if you know, not that we had any effect on that, but I wonder if they thought about it and said, you know what, we should have this buff based strength because Dime Radium Shackles would murder this card.
Okay, that's a different story then. That is a different story, and I apologize for the misinformation. I was going by still. I didn't really look into this card because I thought that it didn't change. Although when we get into the Skellige talk, we'll talk about cards that we thought we knew that aren't the same cards at all. But let's just quickly talk about. So yeah, it is base strength. I think.
Yeah, Rethos confirmed. So thank you.
Okay.
We're so glad to have him in here.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us, Rethos, as we struggle through these. Not really. I mean, it's just. It's all so new to us, and you know we love hanging out with you right after these streams or right after these patches drop. Catacan, let's talk about the Catacan. You want to take this one?
Yeah. So Catacan. All right. So this is a card. It is a silver. I did end up getting one. And every 3 turns, this card will banish a non-gold unit in your graveyard and absorb its strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so this sort of synergizes with the Necker, right? So it'll buff the Necker when it eats stuff. It'll get stronger when it eats stuff. And since it's a non-gold, it can stay on your board, and it can be pretty strong. So you play, like, Witchers or something like that, and Valued Monsters. You're playing Fiends. You're playing things with between 6 and 8 strength. So this card could be okay. It's another one of those, like, if you happen to be in a position as a Monsters card where you can stall out, you know, mm-hmm. this card for me is going to require at least 3 rounds to be viable. But if you can get this baby to go 6 rounds, it could potentially be 18-20 strength from just playing one card. So it's
for
really
sure.
Cool. I think it's better than Frightener.
You think it's better than Frightener? I think that it is better than Frightener since you're more likely to have units in your graveyard than special card. Generally, the density of units is much higher.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely with the new change to Neckers, for sure that this card is better than maybe originally assumed because there are changes coming to consume mechanics, and I'm sure that's not the last one. So will this card have a place in a consume deck? I am willing to check it out for sure, and I think I've been saying that a lot about the cards, and I think that that's a fair thing to say because I haven't actually had the hands-on. It's very easy to misevaluate cards. I think when Radovid first was revealed, people thought that he wasn't going to be that good. And now, even in his nerf state, he's everywhere. So just keep that in mind. So I think that this card is... 3 turns seems like a long time. I will say that, just as like a gut reaction. 3 turns seems like a long time.
Okay.
When you consider Ancient Fog, it buffs every turn, or Champion of Champions buffs every turn. 3 turns considering that it does need a number of things in the graveyard for it to proc a number of times, you'd have to play it, and you wouldn't play it on round one, so you need to hold it or draw it. I think it definitely remains to be seen. I'm not crazy about the card personally, yeah, but I think it's definitely situational. It definitely needs the right deck to work. I like the flavor. I do like the flavor.
Yeah, gobbling up. Yeah, what's funny though is it's a vampire, right? So it's a bloodsucker. You know, it's got the vampire tag, by the way. So we see vampire tags as not like a key word, but it's just kind of what the card is. So Ikamara also has the tag vampire, so we know there'll be future synergies with vampires as more cards appear. But as it stands right now, this card is like I told Nub, I think this is slightly better than Frightener, and yeah, that maybe Ghoul's better than them both right now. Here's the thing though, there are situations where the Catacan is going to get exceptional value, and if you are able to, you know, play one of those rounds, this guy's going to be an MVP.
Yeah. For sure. Let's move on to Scoia'tael. So Scoia'tael, oh, I misspelled this one too. I know there's an A. I know it's S-C-H. I do, again, these...
Shiru.
We definitely, I worked on these quickly, too quickly perhaps. So that should be S-C-H. So Shiru is a 4-strength card. It is an ambush card you can play on any row you want. When the next non-gold special card is played, cancel its effect, and then... Scorch, destroy the strongest non-gold unit on the battlefield. So Shiru with the torch in his hand, just like, oh, you want to play that special card? Nah, let's Scorch instead. That's much more fun. So my view on this card generally, for ambush cards in general, the more ambush cards that are added to the game, the stronger they all become, because you can't expect anything for sure until you test for it. But in a game like Gwent, where every card is a turn, doing like a little experiment, like, okay, well, I have this Alzur's Thunder in my hand, so let's just throw it out there and see what happens. See if it's Ida going to counter it, or Shiro that's going to convert it to a Scorch, or nothing triggers and you know that it's not either of those cards. But it really puts you in a position to make suboptimal plays, and I think that these cards, ambush cards, are just going to get stronger and stronger the more they add.
Yeah, this is just another 5-strength golden.
And he's a 5-strength, you know? 5-strength golden card.
He's just another 5-strength. This tells you something about Scoia'tael, right? All of the Scoia'tael gold cards are 8-strength or less. At least from what I can see here. You know, Zoltan and Shiru and Eglais and Yorveth and Isengrim. So, this card is cool. Like, this makes me think of Witcher 3 Gwent, and that's why I like it.
Scorch is all over the place?
No, because when you played Shiru in Witcher 3 Gwent, he was a siege card, and he would scorch the siege row. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you played you know, Gwent plus plus, or if you played just, you know, in the harder difficulty later in the game, Northern Realms was pretty strong with the full test ability to, you know, Commander's Horn the siege row, and then the tight bond siege units, and having Shiru for that was really fun. So the fact that they put him in here as a gold, he's gonna be dropping scorches on you. You can use renew on him. Here's my thing, like, he's gonna look like any other trap card, so no one's gonna know that you put down Shiru, and that's right. One of my favorite parts about this. So
yeah, for sure,
you just have no idea what's gonna happen.
Yeah, well, another card that I probably won't craft like out of the gate, but if I get it, I'll use it. I'll try to make it work. Next card, Milena. Now, we did get a chance to reveal this. Good old Milena. Great, great art, great lore, great kind of effect. And I like that she is basically Scoia'tael's Nithril. Now, it doesn't work exactly. Now, when we did our card reveal, we talked about Milena. We talked about how like Isengrim would cause it to like proc twice, and that is no longer the case, as Isengrim only summons one neophyte. But that is the general effect still. Every time an elf unit appears, and you're probably running a lot of them if you're running Milena, she will ping. Sorry, maybe I should just talk about the card. It is a 4-strength agile unit, silver card. Every time an elf unit is played, like a non-ambush elf unit, a revealed elf unit, Milena will ping the opposing board for 1 randomly. So Vreed Vanguard, 2 pings, Blue Mountain Commando on an Elven Mercenary, two pings, Elven Mercenary first lighting out another Elven Mercenary, two pings from that as well. Weak, it's only four strength, very easy to remove, but I think it's still a cool card. I still think it's a cool card.
Four strength silver club,
yeah. For
the
sure.
8.33 four strength silver club.
Absolutely.
So we talked about Milena on the reveal stream, and while she's not going to be, you know, while Isengrim isn't going to be holding the minigun for her, you know, there's still going to be, you know, Aeloren and the neophyte spam from Isengrim, if Isengrim lives, would synergize well with Milena. She's going to be a decent turn one or two play in round one or two while you're setting that all up. And we'll see how much play she gets. Additionally, we know that a lot of Squirtle requires units on the opposing board to be targetable for removal, like archers and that sort of thing. And control-style Squirtle requires units on the other side. So I don't know how well Milena will synergize with that, because she might start killing stuff before you get to play your archers, or you know, she might, you know, provide less value for your archers if they're already wounded. So, you know, we'll see where she gets played and how effective she is and the best way to use her. But right now, I am not sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, finally, let's talk about Squirtle. So Squirtle, somebody asked me to show card art. I didn't build the slides to have every single card represented on the slides. I only chose the gold cards for these faction ones. So it's not that I'm choosing to not show the card. I didn't prepare the slides in that manner. So for Skellige, Coral. Not the card Coral.
Coral.
Not the card we originally thought it was. Now, previously in the CD Projekt Red stream, the live stream of the shape of Gwent to come, when we saw Coral having an ability to move all of your units onto the row in which she is played, that is no longer the case. Now she has a different ability altogether, in that she spawns Fog and Rain on your opponent's rows. That's a very different card.
Yeah,
it's a very strong card as well, I gotta say.
Yeah, she's Skellige Storm.
She is Skellige Storm with a seven strength body as well, unless that is an old image that I am sourcing.
Yeah, she's seven.
She is seven. She is, so that is correct. So that is the correct image that you want to see. And yeah, and she has Skellige Storm built into her, so you wouldn't have to necessarily run Skellige Storm.
She's six.
She's six. Okay. Okay. She is six.
Oh dear.
So the really information came her, fast so. And furious to us. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God. We're doing a great job, McBeard. We're just doing super.
You know, being serious, I think we're doing a fine job. As my voice gets very high and defensive.
it's been funny. So
this was a huge surprise, because when I saw the patch and I saw people reacting to this card early on, I wasn't even home yet, but I was checking Discord on my phone. They said Coral is a totally different card. I'm like, that's very, very different. And I was very surprised, because, you know, being a card that was revealed earlier on as one of like the main five cards shown, there is an expectation of this card and kind of an expectation of Skellige in general and the quality of cards that they'd be receiving. It was refreshing. Refreshing, like a nice fog or rain.
Yes, a refreshing sprinkle on your long ships.
Exactly.
Oh man, this is Coral was why the pirates were nerfed.
But it's the opposing row only, though. I think that is correct, if I'm not mistaken. She only plays the fog and the rain on the opposing row, so she's not quite a Skellige Storm in that she is better if you don't have units that are weather immune. Although if you are Skellige, you would. And correct me if I'm wrong, of course. Feel free, because again, I cannot open the client at this moment. And I do greatly appreciate any corrections in this case.
What would you like? I'll tell you anything you need to know.
Well, it is opposing row only for Coral. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's the big part.
Okay, yeah. So that's very strong when it's
better than what I said, because the synergizes well with the changes, or the synergizes well with medics and everything, and shieldsmiths and other non weather immune units you'd have, unlike the like longships and pirates that I just referenced for no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But I think the fact that Gwent has a lot of great cards that are mirrored effects. When we're talking about Scorch, or we're talking about Becker's Twisted Mirror, for instance, Coral is not one of those cards in that it is. It seems it could be devastating against some decks. So I think while Skellige did get hit with a lot of nerfs to a lot of their units, I think Coral is a really strong card for sure.
Yeah, Coral's really cool now. I actually really like this card.
And I love the art, which we can't
see. There's like a bunch of like body, she looks like a giant, and there's a bunch of bodies like flopping through the air, and she looks ridiculous. She's got like her spirit fingers going.
Yeah, and, your jazz hands. Yeah. She's got those red jazz hands.
Yeah, Plutonium Rooster is correct. Coral does work well with cards, I think.
Yeah, Coral works well with cards, which is good if you have a flex spot.
She works better with guard, but yeah, she also works well with cards.
Yeah, definitely. And then finally, the last card we're going to talk about is the Champion of Champions. One of the other cards that now I'm going to switch the scene back. I believe it was this one here where we talk about the new cards. So if you wanted to see that Milena art, I know someone wanted to see the Milena art. So the Milena art is this middle image here, but and then on this side, the left side here, that is the Champion of Champions. And it was one of the cards that we got to reveal along with Milena on the reveal stream that we did on Thursday of last week. Yep. Again, back so soon. Champion of Champions is a 4-strength unit that you can play on any row you want. And when you play it on that row, if it's the only unit on that row, it gains 2 strength each turn. Not base strength, buffed green strength.
Oof.
Each turn it's alone.
Beautiful.
Feedback on this card was lukewarm, I think we could say.
Yeah, it's another one of those cards that needs a long round to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of removal bait. And Skellige doesn't have a ton of removal bait.
Yeah.
So Scoia'tael makes it a problem, you know, it's just because the archers and the amount of removal they might have.
Yeah.
So we like Champion of Champions. It's special and dear to us, but you know, we're not sure where it's going to fit yet.
Yeah, Champion of Champions is I think I like snowball cards. I think that there are cards that are very fast cards in which they have immediate effects when they hit the board and they do very swingy things. Champion of Champions is not that card. Champion of Champions would be considered a very slow card. But in a game where you only have one card to play each turn, I think the speed of your cards, if we're actually qualifying in this way, is less important. And this card, if left unchecked, is not nothing. You know what I mean? Like there are going to be situations where this card's going to get you value. It depends on how often those situations occur. Like I said, I think people think that this card is not very strong, and I think it does remain to be seen. I think your mileage may vary if you play a deck with this card in it.
Yeah, I'm not going to crap on it till I play it. So
absolutely, same here.
Yeah, and so with that, Beard, do you want to tell us where everybody can find you? We're going to wrap up the show, I think.
Absolutely, we are. So you can connect with us about the podcast, of course. We are always available by email. We will respond. We do read everything. At CommandersHornPodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitch, which you are watching us right now, on Commander's Horn, and a Twitter at Commander's Horn as well. You can find me streaming on weekdays, at least for this next week before the holiday break. I will be streaming every day this week at McBearded, and you can find me on Twitter at McBeardCH. How about you, Gray Boxer? Where can people find you when you're not on Commander's Horn?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/GrayBoxer. You can find me on Twitter at GrayBoxerGwent. I will be streaming my Beta Brawl match versus Mortan tomorrow live. So if you guys want to check out some live competitive Gwent, it is the 5th round of the Beta Brawl qualifiers. And so I'm facing off against the only other undefeated guy, Mortan.
So once again, if you want to see the patch notes, you can check the show notes. We will be putting a link to those patch notes if you are unable to find it, although you can find it on your favorite Gwent News site. If you want to see videos for our card reveal, if you want to see our live reaction and how much fun we had getting that opportunity, thank you so much, CD Projekt Red, for that opportunity. You can find it on the Commander's Horn YouTube account, which is also Commander's Horn. We have that there, as well as our fun 40-card showdown, which we did advertise on the previous podcast.
Again, 40-card showdown!
Just in case you didn't hear it. So you can find the links to that in the show notes as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. To everybody, again, this is McBeard signing off as well with Grey Boxer. Best of luck to you.
On the path.
On the path. Thanks again, everybody. It was a long one. We do appreciate you hanging out with us for sure. And we'll see you. We'll see you soon. We have a podcast lined up for next week as well. We won't miss a week. It may be a little shorter as well, as this one would run a little long. But we will see you. I'm going to play the outro right now. Thanks again to everybody hanging out with us. I'll see you live on stream soon. I'll be playing a little stream as well. We'll open some kegs and we'll have a good time. Just give you a moment to have a little snack and we'll be right out. Thanks again, everybody. And take care.